Welcome to Podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast. I'm your host, Porter.
And I'm your host, Tyson.
And we are writers, editors, and part-time filmmakers who love superheroes. Today, we're talking about the penultimate episode of Peacemaker Season 2. A lot happens in this episode, but Tyson, what's the first thing you want to talk about?
The Hitler mural.
Oh my gosh.
Like a crazy way to kind of start this episode off is they take us right into the cliffhanger of the last episode. And that made me laugh really hard was just this giant wall in the police precinct at Argus that was just Hitler. And it was like all like sunshine and flowers. And it's just like, we love that man. And I'm dying that there was like that big like lovey-dovey scene where Peacemaker came back and kissed Harcourt in the previous episode. And he had to have been in that same room, and bro simply did not notice.
So while it is very funny, I was reading an article that kind of brought up an interesting point, because the Nazis winning World War II is a very heavy topic, right? Like, there's some real crazy things that are a result of that in this universe. But it was kind of, the article was pointing out that it's a really good exploration of how trauma can really block someone's senses, and how Chris, he didn't figure this out sooner because he was so like, I have a family, and that's what he didn't have growing up.
Wow.
And so he just like could not notice. And I think that the Hitler mural is like a peak example of that, right? Like, he literally could not notice.
She like
thing.
Pointed it out and he was like, oh
yeah. Like
he had the fullest extent of rose-colored glasses.
Absolutely. And just like what having a traumatic experience that you don't talk about or work through, how that can just absolutely warp your vision of the world. But that's, it was a cool little article. I was like, oh, I like that.
Yeah, that is an excellent point and an explanation I'm more than willing to accept. I mean, at the very most, it's just a funny way to start off this episode with, you know, Harcourt making a fun point about like, really? This is what you're into? But he's like, no, of course not.
Yeah.
And then they just take us through like everybody's story, right? Like, they kind of had the like sequence at the end of the last episode where they're just like, they're all screwed.
Yeah.
And then they picked right back up. So we get Economos tied to a chair with his stabbed hand just bloodily duct taped.
Seriously.
We get Adebayo still running and it's not looking good. She has to like jump a fence, getting to a pool, and like, me and you were both like, why would you get in the pool? Like, that feels like a dumb move. Then you're just trapped in a box of water and they're still around you.
Yeah.
But a bunch of them start jumping in after her, and suddenly you see like this cool shot, like through like the blurry of the water, you see like a little green man, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was a fun surprise. I had honestly, starting this episode, forgotten that he was in this dimension.
Yeah.
Or allegedly.
Right. We were speculating last time, but like, yeah, complete. That was such a fun surprise. And he ends up being kind of her hero, pulls her out and electrocutes all the white supremacists and gets her to safety. So that's like resolved relatively quickly, at least, you know, in her immediate physical danger.
For sure.
Fun to get him there. And then it takes us right back to Vigilante chilling with himself. And he finds out that, you know, canonically in this world, US teamed up with Germany and won, because that's what we do.
Yeah, seriously, that's a crazy thought.
And they try and go to save Adebayo.
Yeah, and one thing I want to bring up with Judo Master is, so he says when he's talking to Adebayo and they have like a safe house, that they found, like, he just said he followed Peacemaker through.
Yeah.
And he says he doesn't know the code to get out.
Right.
So he must have literally have been like on Peacemaker's tail when he walked through that door.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't look like they're going to explain it. I mean, they were in and out of this dimension all in this episode. So
yeah, that was nuts.
It doesn't look likely that there's like a need for like them to like break that down, but
I can live with it.
I mean, headcanon, he's Judo Master. That's like halfway to a ninja. That's like, I don't know.
It's true.
I'll take it. He's small. He's stealthy. Give it to the man, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It was a fun surprise. I mean, they made it so easy to forget that he was a factor.
That's fair. I did really like his chat with Adebayo, though, because they do talk about, it sounds like they kind of chat about her issues with her partner, which I also kind of forget was a thing going on.
Right.
I'm glad that they brought it back, and this was a fun way to do that with a new perspective. And I don't know, it was just cool to have like a judo master be kind of part of the team. You know what I mean? Like, he felt at home.
Yeah, I mean, he helped them get out of there. He was a part of, you know, fighting off the guys in that final conflict. But yeah, it was fun for him to kind of be the good guy, which I was kind of surprised that I felt that way about Vigilante as well, because they had this New Dimensions Vigilante describing, you know, being a part of the Sons of Liberty. And how, you know, everybody is just Nazis now, and he can't stand by and just let that happen. So he's taken it upon himself to, you know, just eradicate this evil that he sees in the world. And if you think about it, that's kind of what our Vigilante has tried to do in like a darker way, but in the sense that, you know, he's not fighting Nazis because they're not half as prevalent, right?
Yeah.
He's fighting, you know, maybe the
Jaywalkers.
Like, right, like yeah. the evil I say in air quotes, of our dimension. But I liked the question that they kept bringing up about, like, you know, I'm sorry if your dimension is so perfect, but ours, you know, isn't that way. I mean, Vigilante said that. Peacemaker's dad said that. I think it's an interesting point that, like, even if in this alternate world, you know,
things look amazing.
Right. Even if, like,
on the very, very surface level.
Right. That's just not always great. And you just do the best that you can. Even if the world is run by Nazis, you kind of like fight the good fight one step at a time.
Totally. Okay, you brought up Augie Smith. When they capture Peacemaker and Harcourt, they're in the house with Economos. And Keith is like pissed about his version of Chris getting killed.
Right. And I find it surprising, but Peacemaker's immediate reaction is just to be honest with them.
Oh, right. Yeah, he doesn't, like, try to BS his way through it.
Yeah.
I'm with you. That was surprising.
He's just real. He explains that they're from another place. He very honestly and kind of emotionally tells them that, like, I did not mean to make any difference here at all. I was sickly curious, and then I simply defended myself. And his dad believes him, which I was not expecting.
Yeah, literally.
Keith is obviously upset, and I just keep expecting there to be some twist from the dad, because I just know him as like this psychopathic
dude,
jump to conclusions, like distrusting of the deep state. Like, he would never believe a stranger from another dimension.
He's so level-headed in this. Like, it's that's almost freaky.
It's
right?
Disturbing. Did not know where I thought I was gonna get like that classic trope of like, oh yeah, we're gonna let you go, and as they're walking away, you like shoot him in the back kind of thing, right?
Yeah, he's literally like, okay, here's what's going to happen. Your friends will come here and then you'll leave and not come back. And I was like, that is like best case scenario.
Yeah, like that. Obviously something is going to go wrong, but I really thought it was going to be on his part. And holy devastating, Batman. That was not the case.
No, so I guess a bit of like context before, but the detective from season one comes back looking for Chris and they're wants to search the house, which is really fun to see him again.
It's fun to get him back, yeah.
But yeah, Vigilante just pulls up and immediately kills Augie, and which is like actually kind of sad. And it was interesting because Harcourt calls him a Nazi and he is like adverse to it. He's like, hey,
he's
I don't agree with
that. Yeah.
So it's like, okay. It's interesting because I felt like the theory was like, okay, is his dad just a white supremacist in every dimension, and this one just fits his worldview, so that's why he's nice to everyone.
Yeah.
No, that's not the case. This is a different person than what we know. You know what I mean? Like,
totally. I mean, you started seeing this turn when he, at least in our view of the character, when he started talking about all of the cops in Evergreen being dirtbags, right? He wasn't killing them just because they're part of the government, but because they support this really like messed up system that he absolutely does not agree with, which it seems like, to the best of his ability, he's tried to teach that to his sons, but they're a little mixed up. I mean, obviously, their Peacemaker's version had a lot of issues just mentally, substance abuse, and Keith seems earnest, but is also giving in to like the ways of the world, right? I mean, that reaction that his dad had when Keith said he tried to chase down the black woman that he saw.
Yeah.
And his dad's like, have I taught you nothing? Why would you do that? And Keith was like, well, because that's what people do, right?
Right.
I thought that was a really important interaction.
I'm with you there. There's so much like little character reveals.
What a well done scene.
Yeah. Wow.
Ah. You mentioned that James Gunn felt especially proud of episodes 6 and 8 in this Peacemaker season, that those are like, in his mind, some of the best work he's put out.
Yes. And from what I read, episodes 6, 7, and 8 weren't released to the press beforehand. Like, everyone's seeing them at the same time. So like zero spoilers.
Which is cool. I dig that. Yeah. But honestly, after having seen this episode and some of like the really excellent reveals and these story arcs that are like really fleshing out now, I'm shocked 7 didn't make it into like his like favorite episodes list.
I know, right? This was a really good one. One thought I had about Augie before we move on past his death is, do you think just something inherently within that character is he just doesn't like Chris? Because in our version of it, Chris accidentally kills Keith. He blames Chris. He just hates on Chris forever, right? And in this universe, he gets told that his son was killed. And he's like, yeah, but he was like kind of on drugs and he wasn't the best. Like, it's okay.
Well, you bring up a good point. And I think,
if it wasn't supported by all this other level-headedness, do you think it would be more of a case of him just not liking Chris?
That would be it. Okay. Yeah. But I think all in all, like, he almost had like a rational way of thinking about it, in the sense that like he completely believed our Peacemaker because he knew that his son was like a bit of a hothead and all over the place. So this story that Chris is telling tracks in his mind. And also that line where he's all like, there's a lot of things I don't know about my kid, but I know that I loved him. So he's trying to, you know, like relate to Keith and like, I'm sad that I lost my son, but I'm also like willing to accept that like he was very much a part of his own death.
Right. Revenge won't bring him back, right? Exactly. He's very wise.
Oh, it was the most like Uncle Iroh moment.
Totally.
It was immaculate. Yeah. No, like and once again, like having just such a hateable character in season 1, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop this entire season. Each time he saw his dad, each time that blue suit pulled up, I kept waiting for like that really like evil, that really dark, that really hateable. And I'm like genuinely sad that like he had such an incredible arc and
then he dies.
He dies. And like in a really gruesome, like stabbing in the neck, yeah, and just relentless. Anyways, I don't say I disagree with the decision story-wise. It's totally moving the plot forward. We get this incredible, deep, dark hatred brewing in Keith now, who is still alive.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming will be a factor at the very least in next season, if not in this final episode.
Yeah, I wonder what'll happen there. Because it's actually a really good scene where Keith is attacking Chris and all of his friends come to help him. And they got him within an inch of his life. And Chris is like, get off. Like,
he breaks. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's sad about Keith dying. Like, he's like, I can't let that happen again. He's like, it's me that's wrong, not the world I'm in. Right. And it's a very moving scene. And I think you're right. We'll obviously know much more next week. I do think if he does play a factor in the next episode, that would be surprising. I feel like there should be something of a time jump because he was injured like crazy.
Oh, for sure. Unless they do like this Punisher-esque where like, you know, shot and bloodied and broken, and then, you know, one hospital scene later, he's just back at it.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously there could be futuristic technology. I'm willing to accept a variety of factors, but at the very least, there is a great, like, oh my gosh, I love this story that they've set up where Peacemaker, who's only lived his whole life wishing he could have his brother back, is now like the person his brother, I say in air quotes, it like hates the most.
Yeah.
That was a really emotional scene with Peacemaker. A great moment for John Cena to kind of, like you like to say, flex his acting skills. Yeah, really, really torn up. What are your thoughts about his dialogue about, like, how I am the problem? I mean, they made a really, like, compelling edit right there with all the people that he's killed and have been killed.
Yeah, I feel like I could see from his perspective of only having his worldview how that could be possible, or like how he could see that's the only possibility. Obviously, it's not true, right? He is a good person, and we all know that because we've seen everything surrounding him. It's kind of sad, more like it. And he admits that he just wanted to be a part of a family. And I think, I don't know, maybe I don't know how next episode will play out, but it could be a case of all of his friends are just like, yeah, let's get together more often for those like rooftop parties, right? Yeah. From the earlier episode. But
I think what I like about Peacemaker and this rendition of him specifically is his morality seems to fall somewhere between like Superman and Deadpool.
Oh, totally.
Right? Like super like wholesome, like I guess like you would could say like Christian value, like all life is worth loving.
Yeah.
You know what's good. And then just like kind of amoral, I do whatever the hell I want. If I decide you die, you die.
Yeah.
And Chris is almost like smack dab in the middle where he wants to do right, but due to circumstance, due to, you know, just who he is, I don't know what. He ends up in these Deadpool-esque situations where he is often forced to kill or be killed or make a hard decision, or like he's just been taught that this is the way that you do things, right?
Yeah, and it really is, because like you said, his whole motto for the Suicide Squad movie was like, I want peace, no matter how many men, women, and children I have to kill to get it, right? It's literally like what you just described.
Yeah, which is, it's comedic to start off, but I love that they kind of have a conversation about that in the first season, about like what that really means, the ramifications behind that, totally. How he doesn't really want to do that anymore. And we can see he's kind of like leaning more towards this Superman morality.
Yeah.
Of just technically being flawed, but like really trying his hardest to be good.
Kind of going from anti-hero to hero, that kind of vibe.
Absolutely.
One thought I had is kind of solve the multiple dimension problem with movies and whatnot is that A, it's a dimension that you wouldn't want to go back to regardless.
Right.
But now, like, he literally has zero, like, relational reasons to go back, let alone the world being a terrible version of our world. And it's like, I feel like it's solved that problem of, well, if there's multiple dimensions, why, you know, what's there to care about anymore, right? But at least in this limited view of this multiple dimension, you wouldn't want to go back. Like, it rules that out of the question, right? We're never going to see a future thing and be like, well, they could always just go to the other dimension. Like, no, that's not going to happen. You make an
excellent point. They absolutely burn that bridge. And maybe that's why it was essential for Peacemaker's dad to die. Because if you think about it, before his death, at this point in the episode, he's the only person Peacemaker would come back for. Keith hates him his core. Harcourt is not about him anymore. She's very Nazi gang. But his dad is a genuinely good person, and I could see that being a relationship Peacemaker would want to upkeep to kind of heal these childhood wounds, to like maybe make peace with this literal ghost that's haunted him. But
that's out of the question.
How traumatic do you think like this second death of like a genuinely good father must be for him?
Dude, that was probably, I would argue, like, yeah, the Keith about to get killed was the like thing that sent him over. I would be willing to bet it was the dad dying that like got that ball rolling like crazy.
Oh
though.
My gosh. I think that's why I'm blown away that he was in the headspace to make such a noble sacrifice at the end of the episode, because we kind of get like a small scene in the middle of all this where Argus is, you know, trying to figure out how to find Peacemaker that made this deal with Lex. They find Sydney, who is the Vector with a mustache.
Yep.
looking guy who's in the orange jumpsuit, which does not help anything.
Right. It was fun to see him from Superbad. Oh,
absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely. And I like him as a character. He plays it well. So he tries to have a small bargaining moment, and then they're just all like, I mean, just do it.
And right.
He does it. So anyways, classic superhero science. He does it in like 2 seconds, presses literally two buttons. It's just like, that was easy. He explains that this dimension is different because it's stable. The ones that we've been able to create are unstable, like we saw in Superman. So
yeah,
these could technically be open indefinitely. I mean, it's the alien technology of it all. They locate Peacemaker. I guessed, you know, that they would have the place surrounded when he walks out. That seems like the next natural step, and that was the case.
Yeah, and he just gets arrested.
Yeah, he just gives up the portal. He says, this is what you've been looking for. That's kind of the reason they've been tracking him, technically. I mean, we know that Rick Flag wants to kill him, kind of, but...
Also, kind of sad. I highly doubt that Rick Flag Sr. will get to see his son in the other dimension.
That does not seem like a factor. I mean, they obviously made a connection between him and Harcourt.
Right.
And made him kind of the Weasley boyfriend in this new universe, which was a comedic premise and I liked. But yeah, that does not seem, at least in this arc of this season, like something they would touch on. Obviously, I think this opens up a possibility for this to be explored in other seasons, simply because I think one episode quite like isn't enough.
Unless it's time. Like an hour and 20 minutes or something, you know what I mean?
Which
like,
is fair. I think just the fact that Peacemaker closed this dimension, it's in the hands of Argus. Unless Argus tries to get in there immediately or some or whatnot, I just, in my little plebe brain, I'm having a hard time imagining how they're going to write
the dimension's satisfying, done for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A satisfying ending for Keith to track Peacemaker down. That seems like the obvious next arc, but I don't see it happening in an episode. But so, once again, James Gunn has a surprising way of writing.
So here's an interesting thing, and we can close on this, but James Gunn did comment on a Peacemaker season 3.
Okay.
And let me pull it up for you. So he was asked about, you know, future of Peacemaker, and it's kind of iffy on if there's a season 3. Which, it's obviously an extremely popular show. It's not like a ratings thing. It's got to be a story reason.
Maybe more of like an Andor kind of feel where this is just
for sure
all they wanted to tell.
But here's the, so quote, you're going to find out more in episode 8 because it's not necessarily that responding about like a season 3 or like a kind of a lead into season 3. And it continued, some of these characters will continue, but also it's not exactly Peacemaker 3. I'm not ruling it out. You'll see episode 8 and maybe you'll find out a little bit more. So it is possible that this episode 8 could be a nice little ribbon on top for a lot of these characters, which it's a bummer because I love all these characters. It sounds like some of them will probably continue, but it is a smart idea to kind of get to continue this amazing version of these characters, but it is one of those things that bled over from the old DCEU and kind of be smart to kind of just let it stay contained in its own thing for the most part.
Sure.
I don't know.
That's
fair.
What
are your thoughts?
I wouldn't be unopposed if they decided to call it here. I have strong feelings about shows that take it too far, too many seasons, just really want to like milk that cash cow. And I have major respect for shows that know when to stop. If he feels, I mean, obviously we'll talk more next week, and that is a crazy exciting quote. I'm so pumped for this last episode. Obviously it sounds like there will be enough of like a wrap up that it's kind of that there could be a season 3, but enough dynamics will have shifted that Peacemaker, if at this point he's alive after all of this, could be a character in future projects, but there's not a necessary need to have him, you know, flesh out more of his own story. Obviously, we have the tie-ins with Argus with a lot of these characters. I mean, Vigilante being his own superhero, like there are moments all these people could pull up as characters, which would be fun.
He could probably act like the Hulk in the MCU, where like he doesn't really need his own thing anymore. He just kind of shows up and is there.
Right. I love what they've done with his character. I love that they've brought this like pretty fairly obscure character and gave him such a great arc. So many characters in this show, but I wouldn't be opposed if they ended it here. I saw how neatly they were able to wrap up things in season one, and I kind of trust that they'll be able to kind of bring that around this time again.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
But as always, we really appreciate y'all joining us for our discussions. Crazy, crazy excited for our finale episode next week. So make sure you tune in, and we'll catch you next time.
See ya.